We have a busy morning today. We've got four cases that are scheduled for argument. We have one case that's been submitted on the briefs, and we've taken care of that case. So let's move on to our first case of this morning. Martinez Bodum versus McDonough, docket 21-1328. Mr. DeGarten, you're up. And I understand, Counselor, that you reserved 3 minutes of time for rebuttal.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. You may begin when you want.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Nothing in VA's mental health regulations prohibits service connection and compensation for Mr. Martinez Bodum's anxiety, sleeplessness, and eye twitching. Saunders tells us that for purposes of...
So let me ask you about that. Let's get straight to Saunders. Are you really asking for this to be rated separately under 1110 apart from the schedule? Or are you asking us to interpret the particular mental disorder rating to include your client's condition?
Your Honor, we're not asking for a separate rating under 1110.
Right. So why is Saunders relevant? Saunders is just talking about pain, which isn't on the schedule anywhere, and says under 1110, it requires the secretary to consider whether any condition is service-connected. But that's not what you're asking for here. You're asking us to look at his symptomology, right, and place it within the schedule of 4.13.
That is correct, Your Honor.
So this is a flat out, I just want to clarify, it doesn't seem to me this is a Saunders case. Maybe it has some roundabout application, but what you're asking us really to do is just a flat out interpretation of 4.13.
I would agree that this is about the interpretation of 4.130 and whether it allows compensation for undiagnosed mental health conditions. Saunders is
Okay, and when you say that, you mean the ratings above 0%. Your argument is none of them specifically require a diagnosis, so it's possible he could get a 10 or a 30 or above, but he can't get a 0.
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
So, and if I may just expound just very quickly about why we believe Saunders is relevant to this case. The Veterans Court held that Saunders, in the definition of a disability under 1110, was somehow constrained by VA regulations. But this court's recent precedent in Larson sort of clarified the rating schedule and its import into understanding what a disability is. And Larson said that they have nothing to do with each other.
Sure, but again, you're starting to confuse me again. None of this deals with whether your client's condition is separately rateable under 1110. We're just looking at the rating schedule you think is applicable and determining whether he falls within that or not.
That's absolutely correct, Your Honor.
Right. So whether it's, I fail to see the relevance of Saunders. I think it's does this rating schedule require a mental condition to be formally diagnosed above the 0% rate?
Right. That is the fundamental legal question. I would agree.
But you argue that Saunders is instructive in this instance.
I believe as to whether there's the first element of service connection, which is a current disability, Saunders is supportive of that. Whether it causes functional impairment, it can be a disability. But then the compensation element, which is sort of the next element of rating, would fall to the plain language of the regulations. And we believe that it doesn't support the Veterans Court determination that only diagnosed conditions can be afforded compensation under 4.130 and 4.125A.
Are there any conditions at the bottom of the scale there that have received a 0? Are there any conditions in there that have not been formally diagnosed?
I just want to make sure I understand your question, Judge Rand. In the specifically enumerated diagnoses?
Yes.
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Go on.
Thank you. By their plain language, 4.130 does not require a formal diagnosis. It is true, Judge Hughes, that the non-compensable rating does specifically use the phrase a diagnosed disability. But that particular phrase does not appear in the rest of the rating criteria, not in the 30, not in the 50, not in the 70, and not in the 100.
Sure, but you agree that at least for the lowest, not 0% rating, you have to have a formal diagnosis.
Yes, Your Honor, I would agree.
So you're not trying to argue Saunders somehow gets you a 0% rating even without a formal diagnosis under its precedent and its application to 1110?
Agreed, Your Honor. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
So all this is a very simple question of, does 4.13 require formal diagnosis above the 0% level?
Agreed. Yes, Your Honor.
And you're relying on kind of the very textual reading that those words don't appear.
Correct, Your Honor. And also that the 4.130 is structured differently than the Secretary's successive rating criteria, which do build on itself, in which is the Secretary showing through the text of the regulation that those lower requirements are found in the higher requirements, and that's absent in our view from 4.130.
You mean in other regulations they repeat the requirements in toto and then add to them?
Correct, Your Honor. Such as
I take it the view of the Veterans Court and the Secretary here is that it's just clear that the minimum is you have to have a diagnosis, and you know, for zero the symptoms aren't severe enough, and their view is it has to build on that with increasing symptoms, which is the way it works for every other scheduled rating too, generally, right?
Correct. Increased severity would lead to a higher percentage disability.
So why do you think it makes sense that for increased ratings you don't have to have a diagnosis when this is all about whether you have a mental condition or not?
So
and
this
symptoms of the
mental condition. I think this ties into and not to rehash why we think Saunders is important in this case, but I think this leads to why we think Saunders is important, because a disability must cause functional impairment in earning capacity. And if you don't have functional impairment in earning capacity, which would be the recognition of the 0% rating, then you're not going to be able to get that rating. If a veteran were to show functional impairment in earning capacity, they would satisfy the disability on the hand.
Yeah, but this is why I don't understand why you're relying on Saunders. That might be true if what you're trying to say is he has a condition that's not in any schedule or rating, but we still want it service connected under 1110. But if you're trying to put it in the scheduler rating, it has to fulfill the criteria of that. Saunders doesn't say anything about how we read scheduler ratings. It was completely a circumstance in all of our other cases, right? I think Philbin recently was obesity, which is not on the schedule. Those are all cases where we dealt with conditions that don't have a schedule. But if it has a schedule, again, aren't we just looking at whether the Secretary correctly determined that its rating regulation requires mental condition to be diagnosed, even if it doesn't explicitly say so?
Yes, I agree with you, Judge Hughes.
And what's your best argument on this? And can you also address, because this is, I think, is a little peculiar as compared to some other ones, is it explicitly incorporates the DSM, which I assume requires some kind of diagnosis of a mental condition to be qualified.
Right. The DSM is a manual that contains diagnoses for mental health conditions. The DSM is instructive for the VA examiners and the VA raters to sort of understand when diagnoses are at issue. And I would also point you to 4.25a, Your Honor, in the conditional if. 4.130 talks about the DSM insofar as informing both the examiners and the adjudicators about the explicit mental health conditions in the DSM. But as this court held in Sellers, the DSM doesn't replace or supplant Section 4.130. It's 4.130 at the end of the day, as you noted, Your Honor, that decides whether there's compensation for an undiagnosed mental health disability or not.
Can the VA ever ignore DSM-5 in a mental disorder case?
Can they or have they, Your Honor? Can they?
Are they legally entitled to ignore DSM?
I think in the instances of mental health symptoms without a diagnosis, it's not bound by the DSM, Your Honor, so yes.
Why isn't the answer here, okay, if your client has mental health symptoms but hasn't gotten a formal diagnosis, to ask for a new medical examination and determine whether he has the condition or not, not try to get a rating based upon an undiagnosed condition.
The part, that's certainly a possible avenue, Your Honor.
Did you try that?
I don't believe that there was an argument made below. We didn't represent this client at the agency as to the adequacy of the examination, Your Honor. That's one avenue. But in this particular instance, the examination was very clear. It was checkbox no, 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 no throughout the entire examination, no diagnosis. And then the board in the Veterans Court relied on that to deny the claim at that moment.
Going back to that rating schedule, now, above the 0%, are there any non-diagnosed compensable conditions that are listed or could fall in those different categories?
May I have a moment to just look at 4.130, Your Honor? So the explicit numbers of the diagnostic code do refer to diagnoses that are contained in the DSM, but the symptoms that are recognized in the rating criteria. Although Mr. Martinez-Bowden's condition doesn't raise to the level of a formal anxiety disorder, he does have anxiety, he does have sleeplessness, he has the symptoms that are contemplated by a rating under 4.130 without that particular diagnosis. Does that answer your question, Judge Reyna?
Yes.
But they don't specifically exclude or include symptomology without diagnosis.
The rating schedule does. Our position would be the rating schedule.
Well, that's what it comes down to, right?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
That's what it comes down to, whether we interpret this rating schedule as building on the requirements that are in the first level and going up, which is the way these rating schedules usually work, or whether for some reason VA intended only at the baseline for it to be diagnosed, and then above, it's just looking at symptomatology without a specific diagnosis of a condition.
I think based on that question, Your Honor, if I may just clarify my answer to whether every single rating criteria builds upon itself. And when I said yes to that question, I meant insofar as it increases in severity. Not every single one of the Secretary's rating criteria build upon every single one of the lower ratings requirements. Those are few and far between in the rating schedule. Diabetes is a perfect example, which this court reviewed in Middleton. Symptom A, symptom A, symptom B, symptom A, symptom B, symptom C, and so forth. There's also headaches, which the CAVC looked to.
Sure, but almost, am I confused? I thought almost everything builds in terms of severity. If you have a service-connected knee disorder, it builds in terms of flexion and range of motion from if it's only mildly impacted, it's at a lower level. And then if the flexion and range of motion get even more limited and more limited as it goes up, you get higher ratings. Isn't that, that's what I mean, if I'm using the wrong words, but it seems to me that that's characteristic of all the rating schedules. There may be examples where it's not, but that's largely the way it works, is it not?
It does increase in severity, Your Honor, but I think the range of motion example, because it's based on 15 degrees, 30 degrees, 60 degrees of limitation of motion, is slightly different when you have a specifically enumerated symptom like the diagnosis, and whether that particular symptom or that particular requirement extends throughout the entire rating criteria. Our position is that when the Secretary chooses to make that sort of explicit rating criteria, it's a successive rating criteria, and it looks very different than 4.130 looks.
Okay, you're into your rebuttal time. Would you like to reserve what you have?
If there are no further questions, Your Honor, I'll reserve the remainder of my time.
Ray, do you have any other questions?
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
May it please the court. We agree with our opposing counsel that this is a standard regulatory interpretation case and that Saunders does not apply to these circumstances. The relief that the claimant appellant is seeking in this case is service connection compensation under the mental disorder ratings table. And for that reason, this strictly pertains to the proper interpretation of the relevant regulations, section 4.125 and section 4.130.
What's wrong with his argument that because the rating schedule doesn't explicitly include diagnosed condition above 0%, that you just look at the symptomology and determine whether it should be rated at that level?
I think that's their best argument, Your Honor, to be fair. It doesn't repeat that specific requirement, but I think it's important to review the regulation as a whole. So that's precisely what the Veterans Court did. It looked at the preamble language. It said it emphasized the import of the DSM-5 diagnosis for purposes of that ratings table regulation. And then it lists 30 specific mental disorders. And then it says, this is the ratings table that applies to these specific diagnosed mental disorders. If you were to say that symptoms were only required in order to use that ratings table, there would be no reason to list diagnostic codes at that point. There would be no reason to say these are the 30 recognized mental disorders. So what the Veterans Court did was it looked at the regulation as a whole. It said, look, we recognize, and it acknowledged this. It acknowledged the fact that that diagnosis requirement wasn't repeated, but it looked at the regulation as a whole, looked at the preamble language, looked at the 30 specific diagnostic criteria, looked at the ratings table language itself, and says, look, the regulatory framework as a whole leads to a specific conclusion. That's in order to be compensated under this ratings table, we require a diagnosis. It further backed that interpretation by referring back to section 4.125. And what the court found was, look, if you look back at 4.125, which concerns diagnosis for mental disorders, that regulation specifically states, if you don't have a diagnosis that conforms to the DSM-5, you send it back to the VA examiner to substantiate that diagnosis. We think the Veterans Court got it precisely right. It recognized the potential collision with Saunders. It acknowledged that issue, but it said in this specific case, based on the relief that the claimant appellant is seeking, based on the compensation he's seeking, based on the specific ratings table he's trying to employ to seek compensation, that ratings table specifically says you need a diagnosis.
And what do you see, in your view, what is the collision with Saunders?
It could be a collision if you were to say that the regulations somehow truncate the ability of Section 1110 to define disability. But again, that's not the relief that the claimant appellant is seeking in this case. What the claimant appellant is specifically seeking is compensation under a very specific ratings table that's defined by regulation. And that's specifically what Weiner and Wingard.
So you're conceding that the veteran has a disability. The question is whether it's compensable.
Correct. That's the issue in this case. It's whether the service connection disability that he's claiming he has is compensable under this very specific rating.
That's what I mean. But I mean, if the Saunders question was, well, do you have a disability?
Right.
So, well, is pain a disability? So there's no, you're not arguing that he doesn't have a disability. The question is his disability compensable?
Right. Well, I think what the Veterans Court found, and the answer to that is no, that's not the issue in this case. What the Veterans Court specifically found is based on the relief that the claimant appellant was seeking. You're seeking compensation for a mental disorder under this particular ratings table. You don't get it because you don't have a diagnosis for a mental disorder.
So hypothetically, if the DSM were slow to catch up, and this happens, I think it happened with PTSD, and there's some dispute out there about whether this is an acknowledged mental condition, a veteran might be able to come in and say, look, I have this constellation of symptoms. It's not recognized yet by the DSM, but yet it is should be considered a service-connected disability. That might be an opportunity for Saunders.
Well,
I know you don't want to engage.
That's a hard question.
That's a hard question.
It's a hard question. The reason why I'm inclined to say no is because the DSM-5 is incorporated by regulation. The only reason that the DSM-5 has any import in this case is specifically because the regulation says it does. It was subject.
Just to be clear, I'm not asking you to concede anything. I know you're representing the secretary and you don't want to bind them in anything. But it does seem to me that back before PTSD got recognized, because the VA was slow and the people behind the DSM were really slow, but there was some agreement that maybe this was a service-connected disability and a constellation of symptoms. under Saunders, it probably could have come in. It might not have gotten them anything. I'm still unclear what Saunders actually gets people when they get service-connected for a disability that's not on a schedule. I'm not even clear whether they get a zero rating or the VA just says, yes, we have to service-connect it, but it's not rateable at all.
Right.
And but that might apply in that circumstance.
And to be fair, I think that's what the Veterans Court is struggling with now is, you know, how do we define a disability if there's no rateable context for these types of decisions?
Do you know what happened in Saunders? I mean, I tried to trace it, and I written that Saunders' attorney prevailed on a EJF fee for money, meaning he must have won something.
I don't know what the ultimate outcome is of that case, unfortunately, Your Honor.
So my question, maybe it's the wrong question, but I don't understand what the case or controversy is here. My understanding is that the appellant admits that he couldn't get a zero rating because he doesn't have a diagnosis, and he doesn't have any symptom that fits anywhere in and ranking up to 10, 30, 50, or 100%, right?
Right. To be fair to the other side, I think you're right, Your Honor. That
I mean, do we have a live case or controversy here? What, he can't get anything.
Yeah, I think in the theoretical sense, he's saying, I should have just been considered.
Aren't you asking for an advisory opinion?
That just consider me is the relief he's seeking. Just consider me for, you know, some sort of compensation under these ratings tables, even if I don't have a diagnosis.
Where can he fit?
I don't know. That's a question for the other side.
He doesn't have any symptom that fits above 0%.
Right. And in some respects, that's probably a factual finding. I would agree with you that looking at the ratings table itself, it's hard to see where the symptoms he's describing would fit.
Somebody comes into our court and says, well, we'd like to have an interpretation of a regulation so we might, you know, be able to use it in some other case. It doesn't have any effect here.
Understood, Your Honor. And so I don't want to speak for the other side, I think. But the relief they're seeking is just
well, the other side can, when they get up, can speak to what I've just said. I just don't see a live case or controversy here.
Understood, Your Honor.
Well, we're looking at the controversy created by the Veterans Court interpretation of 4.125, right?
So what the Veterans Court held, and this is what I mean by the relief they're seeking is you should have considered me under this regulation. And what the Veterans Court held was, no, it doesn't apply to you because you don't have a diagnosis. That's the baseline requirement. The regulation clearly builds upwards. That requirement is imposed on every one of the ratings criteria. That makes sense according to the regulatory framework. So they're challenging that holding. That's the case or controversy. As to what specific relief they would get out of it, I think that was Judge Clevenger's question. I'm not precisely sure. It's not clear to me based on the ratings table where they would fit, even if they got that relief. So
could a veteran have a mental disorder that's a functional impairment to earning capacity? And that mental disorder includes symptoms that are described in the rating schedule.
That hypothetical is hard to answer, and I'll explain why. If you look at the 30 diagnosed mental disorder, the diagnostic criteria, they're stated pretty generally. So you have things like unspecified disorders.
So the answer is yes. I mean, it could be the case.
It's hard for me to think of a situation where one of these diagnostic codes wouldn't fit under some type of diagnosed disorder unless you just didn't have one. I'm not a medical expert, so I can't say. But based on the hypothetical, the way that the diagnostic codes are set up, they're very general. They're supposed to be all-inclusive. And the way they're phrased, you know, generalized anxiety disorder, other unspecified disorders, other types of disorders, they're very nonspecific for the specific reason that you want to be as inclusive as possible. So for me to think that someone could hypothetically come to the VA and say, I have something that I can diagnose outside the DSM-5. I know it doesn't fit under these very broad diagnostic codes, but still you should compensate me. It's hard for me to imagine a situation where that situation could arise.
Is that why? Because that's how you view the regulation?
That's how we view the regulation, Your Honor. It's very broad. The diagnostic criteria or the diagnostic codes that apply to this ratings table are intentionally very broad. But at the same time,
but at minimum, that would put him down at zero, right? At the very bottom. I mean, he would make it, that veteran would make it on the rating schedule at zero.
Assuming
zero is better than no consideration at all.
Assuming he had a diagnosis, yes. But the 0% rating requires a diagnosis, correct, expressly.
And that's a lesson we learned from Saunders, isn't it?
I'm not entirely sure.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. We think the Veterans Court got it precisely right here. It analyzed the
let me clarify, because I'm a little confused about your view of Saunders. And again, I'm confused about what Saunders requires too. But even if there existed this mental condition that could be diagnosed but wasn't part of the DSM that could be service-connected under 1110 under Saunders, your view is that wouldn't get him a 0% rating on this schedule. It may get him some other kind of rating depending on what other the Veterans Court does with Saunders. It wouldn't put him on here because the 0% specifically requires a diagnosis.
That's correct, Your Honor. It specifically incorporates the DSM-5. So it's conceivable they could promulgate a DSM-6, but the DSM-6 wasn't incorporated by regulation. It wasn't subject to notice and comment.
I also got the sense you were suggesting that because the DSM-5 is so broad and inclusive, it is definitional of what constitutes a mental disorder or a mental condition, and that it creates all those conditions, and that outside of it, there just aren't mental conditions that could be rateable under Saunders.
Right, and I don't want to say absolutely, but
I understand.
But that, yeah, I think that is kind of the import of the DSM-5. It's a trusted source. It's subject to notice and comment. It's expressly laid out in the regulation. Everyone agrees that this is the source we're going to rely upon. In a way, you know, you're giving VA examiners this vast authority to assess mental health conditions, which are hard to evaluate just by their nature, because they're based on subjective, you know, explanations of symptoms. And somehow a VA examiner has to look at it and say, okay, how do we ground this? And what the VA has said, well, we're going to ground this with a trusted source, an established source, the DSM-5. We're going to reaffirm the backing of that anchor through the promulgation of a regulation. We're going to subject it to notice and comment. That's precisely what the VA did. And that's the import of the DSM-5 in this case. It's that the VA promulgated the importance of that manual in this regulation, the specific diagnostic manual that we're talking about in this case. So we think the Veterans Court got it precisely right. It recognized the text of 4.130 in its totality. It compared that against the language of 4.125. It acknowledged the existence of Saunders, and
so
it recognized.
Looking at your argument, how do you see that the agency handled PTSD?
PTSD, Your Honor?
Yes, adopting your. Just looking at what you just argued, what happened with PTSD?
For Mr. Martinez-Bodon's PTSD claim, Your Honor?
No, not Mr. Martinez. I'm talking about the disorder. How was it handled in the initial stages?
I don't know that there was a. I do know that there was a. I think there might have been a PTSD claim referenced.
I don't mean to speak right. I think he's asking historically. Aren't you going back to the beginning?
Yes, I'm going back, but.
Okay. I'm not sure, Your Honor. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm not prepared to answer that question.
I mean, all of that occurred prior to the VJRA, so we don't have a Veterans Court or even opinions from our court about what was going on at the VA at the time.
We respectfully request that the court affirm the decision of the Veterans Court.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. McTarnigan, we'll restore you to 3 minutes of your rebuttal.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Can I just ask you specifically about a point the Secretary's counsel just made, which is that the DSM is very broad and very encompassing and all-inclusive. In what scenario do you think there are mental conditions that exist but don't fall within that range?
Well, I think Your Honor brought up post-traumatic stress disorder. I think it's a perfect example of that, which the court expounded upon.
Sure, I know, but I don't understand the history of that. I don't know it either. But so I don't want to say one way or another, but it may be that that got either just wasn't diagnosed because nobody considered it a mental condition, or that it got diagnosed as some other kind of symptom. I mean, it used to be called shell shock. There was all kinds of ways to describe it. So if this is so broad,
if the DSM is so broad as to include just general anxiety disorders or very general things, why isn't it that that's what's intended to be all-inclusive? And what you should be trying to do is get your client a medical examination to consider them under the full range, instead of coming up with this undiagnosed condition under Saunders.
Right. Well, Your Honor, there are still very explicit requirements that must be met under a DSM diagnosis. So, for instance, for anxiety disorder, there's a certain number of days that one must be affected by that in order to confirm the specific diagnosis. So I would say, although the DSM is a helpful diagnostic manual, it's not the universe of functional impairments caused by service, caused by mental health symptoms.
Well, I understand that, but how do we know whether it's an actual mental health condition unless somebody's agreed that this constellation of symptoms constitute a mental health situation? We have the experts that come up with it with the DSM, and then we have the people at the VA applying it using medical examination. It seems, who is going to determine that your client has a mental condition? Is it just based on symptomology? Sorry, that word. I struggle with it.
So I would say, yes, it is based on symptomology. And here, the examiner noted and the board found that Mr. Martinez-Bowden competently and credibly reported his symptoms of anxiety, sleeplessness, and eye twitching as related to service-connected diabetes, Your Honor. And so if in...
But that's a different... So I get that, but that's not connecting it to a mental condition. That's connecting it to diabetes. And he could have tried to get compensation as secondary to diabetes, probably. I don't know if that's possible. But you're trying to say it's a separate mental condition.
Right. Well, Your Honor, the CAVC actually explicitly held it could not get anything related to the diabetes because of what they perceived as the 1110 issue. But the examiner would take a look at the symptoms, they would note the symptoms, and they would determine if they were using the correct rule, which is what has yet to happen here, Your Honor. The board wasn't using the correct rule. The CAVC wasn't looking... I'm sorry, I see that my time...
You can continue.
The CAVC is not using the correct rule. So the examiner wasn't held to the construct that I think that we're talking about right now, which is, okay, there's no diagnosis. So what's next? What are these symptoms caused by? And are they related to service?
Well, it seems to me that what you want is to be able to go to an examiner at an RO and try to show that your client has occupational and social impairment that would qualify under the 10 reading.
Yes, Your Honor, that is correct.
And that would, I mean, I suppose what happened in Saunders is somebody brings in evidence about the fact that you were criticized by your boss or you were fired or something else happened to you in terms of your occupational or your social impairment that you want to connect to the fact that you have these identified mental shortcomings.
I would agree with that analysis, Your Honor. And that's the prejudice here is no one ever looked to that inquiry because Mr. Martinez-Bowden has anxiety. He has sleeplessness.
So moving up the scale to 30 and to 50, your argument is that no veteran should be denied the chance to show that they have these occupational and social impairments just because they didn't get a diagnosis.
Correct, Your Honor. And then also to be able to meet the other elements of service.
Isn't anxiety on the DSM?
Anxiety disorder, which is, as we were sort of discussing a bit earlier, Your Honor, that has very specific requirements in order to meet that diagnosis, which Mr. Martinez-Bowden didn't. But that doesn't mean that these symptoms could potentially cause functional impairment in earning capacity such that he deserves a rating if it's related to his service.
Okay. Thank you for your argument.
Thank you very much, Your Honors.